And our last storyteller is Matthew Vaz, Youth Initiative Administrator, hails from Morris, Minnesota. I didn't know that. And Matt Vaz's Meet Me Halfway story is called It's Not My Baby.
So, I was a little surprised to be asked to speak today. Not known for meeting people halfway. Which is true, I'm not very good at it. So I had to kind of rack my brain. When is a time that I met myself or met anyone halfway? And nothing came to mind. But I had a story that I wanted to tell, so just kind of made it fit. So really, this is a story about my wife. That was good, Kevin. Kevin's not going to be lonely tonight. I'm not sure my wife will have the same reaction. But give it a try. This is a story of how my wife helped me meet my gay self halfway. So, Morris, Minnesota, about 30-minute drunk drive from South Dakota. Just really not anywhere, is it? Grew up there, went to high school there. And you know, you're probably a well-read audience. You know about the Kinsey scale. Everyone's got a little gay self. But in Morris, Minnesota, you don't really, you keep it pretty, like, it's in your sock drawer or under the bed somewhere. You don't bring that to high school or anywhere, really. When we called something gay, it meant something different. I had a great time in high school and a lot of friends, and it was a good time. But like, I always knew that, you know, that wasn't my scene. It wasn't who I wanted to be. You know, I had read books, and and I knew there was something else out there. So I left there. I left there at 16. Moved out of my house. Moved into a 1984 Ford Tempo on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis. And, you know, it was 1995, so that's how old I am. And I quickly realized that if I really wanted to be a cultural subversive in 1995, I had to be a little gay. That's just all there was to it. And so, you know, I went about trying to meet my gay self halfway. I mean, I had talked to enough girls at that point where I knew I wasn't a six, you know. But could I get to two or three, maybe? Maybe I could. So, you know, I mean, it was fun. It was fun. I got a fake ID from Todd Johnson, who's like the Dean Moriarty of Fargo, North Dakota. And Todd Johnson is a whole nother evening worth of stories. But, you know, I'd go to the gay 90s and wait for, like, troubled couples to ask me home with them so I could say no. There were a couple awkward makeout sessions. I moved to San Diego, took some swing lessons. I actually ended up in a Humvee with Paul Mitchell on my way to a party in Las Vegas, which I'm sure was going to be very gay. But I did not did not follow through. And that was really, I mean, just, you know, my gay self just never, we never met halfway. You know, and then I had, then there were women. There were women who were all really just practice for the big game, which is Bean Boz, my wife, my one World Series level competition. And she, I mean, you know, so by that time, you know, there were kids. I mean, my gay self was still 19, living in uptown Minneapolis in a studio apartment. And I was 38 or whatever. And she said, well, you know, I think what I want to do is I want to have someone else's baby. Okay. And she said that she had always wanted to do this since she was a little child. And what kind of a child, what kind of a little girl dreams of having someone else's baby and then giving it away? Well, my wife. So I said, well, you know, I love you and you're always right, so we'll just do that. So she was going to become a surrogate, which is what she had wanted to be since she was a little girl. And who was I to get in the way of that? So, okay, let's do that. And, I mean, that seemed like a thing that you could do in a night, right? I mean, but it didn't turn out like that. So you have to, I mean, you can't even imagine this process. And, of course, I'm just carrying the luggage. I'm not really in any way, and somehow I got swept into this. And they make you, you know, we met the couple in a weird old office building in Madison, and, you know, and I kind of got to know each other. And then after that, you know, you get kind of excited. You're like, I'm going to have a baby with these people. But then there's like years, literally in this case, there were about 2 years of, oh God, I don't know. I mean, red tape. I guess there was like psychological evaluations as though we were, you know, about to join the CIA or something. And I was tested multiple times for STDs. But for me, it was pretty easy. You know, it was just kind of a funny thing. And then just tons of medical intervention. First they have to get the uterine lining. This is the word they use, a very technical term, fluffy. you have to take these shots of, I don't know, some kind of hormone cocktail. But I mean, you can't imagine, you know, you're thinking, oh, shots. Okay, I go and I got my COVID shot. This thing is like, the needle is literally as thick as a dart. I'm not kidding. And you have to do it twice a day. So twice a day, you know, we had little kids. It was like a fun game. You know, you find the biggest part of your butt. That was the best part for me. And you write with the Sharpie there. And then you take the shot. And the kids got to do this. They all had turns. It was. They got bored of it, actually, eventually. They were like, nah, you know, by like, I'm good. The shots, they're huge. And they're actually suspended in sesame oil. So you're injecting this sesame oil concoction twice a day for months. And this is before anything even, you know, this is just to get the uterus fluffy. And you go to the, you know, the fertility doctor many times. And, they look at your uterus with things, scopes and whatnot, see if it's fluffy enough. And, you know, and then sometimes it's fluffy enough, and then you got to wait a month, and then, oh, it's not fluffy enough. And so anyway, eventually the moment had come. It was fluffy. And by this time, you know, we had gotten to know this couple fairly well. They're two dudes, by the way. I don't know if I mentioned that, but that was the whole point of the surrogacy, right? Because neither one had a uterus. And they were just, you know, good Wisconsin dudes. One of them was a cop, which my 19-year-old gay self loved. And they like fish fries, Packers, you know, just two dudes. We went out for burgers sometimes. It was, I don't know what it was. Anyway, so the uterus was fluffy. Everyone was ready. We converged at the fertility clinic for the big moment. And, you know, this fertility clinic is like way out. It's in the middle of nowhere. It's like in a suburb next to a office plaza and a Taco Bell or something. We meet there and we go in there and yeah. And then it was just like a movie. We had to put on hazmat suits with the over the shoes and a hairnet. I had to put on a hairnet. I don't even have hair. And you know, so it's me and the two dudes and my wife. And, you know, we're the three dudes are all in hazmat suits, and mine was way too big. I mean, I look like a big blue, like, napkin, crumpled up napkin. And so, you know, and you're in like a pressurized chamber that's like keeping out all the germs, you know, like this is like an environment. And then they take you through, again, another like pressurized hallway into this room that's way too large. A big, huge, large room. So it's my wife, these two dudes. And my wife is, you know, gets up on the thing and she's in a gown, right? And so she's like spread eagle. You know, on the gown, on the gurney thing, and the gurney is like, I mean, it's 1/100th of the room space. It's like as big as this room. Why is it so big? And there's lights. You know, the lights are down on her, and it's like, and then the doctor like goes over to a door. I kid you not, knocks on the door, says, "Girl 1138," and then a little door in the door opens, and a man's face comes to the door, and it's like a peep show, and, then he goes back, and then he's, like, out comes a little pipette, where girl 1138 has been hanging out for like 4 years. And so, you know, then the ultrasound, right? You think you've had an ultrasound. Like, this is like a 4D ultrasound, you know? It's like scratch and sniff ultrasound. And so this doctor, you know, goes over there and he's got his pipette. And then the ultrasound's up on, like, a big screen. So me and the dudes are watching on the big screen. This doctor, like, you know where the uterus is, how to get there. And, you know, we see the pipette come in on the ultrasound, and it's, like, super long and floppy pipette. It's like, I don't know, for comfort or something. And then you can see the little girl 1138. You know, boom, and she lands. And meanwhile, I mean, me and these dudes are like, what are we going to talk about? We're going to talk about the fish fry, Packers. I don't know. We're just like nervously looking at each other. And boom, girl baby, 1138 lands in the fluffy nest. Everyone puts their respective clothes on or off. It's done. And, you know, we go out to the parking lot and kind of awkwardly shake hands. Like, you don't know if it's really happened yet until there's many, many more months of sesame oil injections. Yeah. And so, you know, on the ride home, like, Bean's obviously pretty tired. It's a big day. And that stretch between, like, Middleton and Richland Center, where it's just, you know, you've all driven it many times. And, you know, so she's sleeping, and I'm just kind of daydreaming. And it's like I could see, you know, my gay self. Like I went back to uptown Minneapolis and peered in through the window of that studio apartment. And there's that little guy, 19, you know, with his frosted tips. This white tank top, and I just sat down next to him, and I looked him into the eye, and I said, "We did it, man. We just had the least hot bisexual foursome that you could ever imagine."